Hi, everybody, and welcome back here for another short little bite-sized political podcast on Sunday, May 12th, and hope this one finds you well. And I'm having a little break of a weekend, but I have tried to give you as much content as I'm able to. So if you do enjoy the content, please consider buying me a coffee, link below. And of course, my thanks to Quantum Hypno for their continued sponsorship of this platform, link below as well. Okay, well, I didn't want to let it go without some comment. And of course, I'm referencing the Eurovision Song Contest, which took place last night. And I've entitled this one, Eurovision Meets Its Waterloo, because of course, last night, the Eurovision Song Contest returned to Sweden, to Malmo, in fact, based on the fact that last year's winner was Sweden. So it goes to Sweden this year. And that means that precisely 50 years to the month, more or less, since ABBA won with Waterloo back in 1974, the focus was on was Sweden again. And obviously, particularly with Waterloo. Now, look, my view on it is that Waterloo from ABBA, and I remember watching it back in 74 when it took place in Brighton in the UK, that was an anomaly. That was the exception. That was an incredibly talented band who just happened to break through using Eurovision. They went on to all kinds of greatness and stuff like that. I'm a huge ABBA fan. It just so happened that the Eurovision was a step along the way, very memorable. And of course, a totally memorable tune, great singers, all of that there. Now, fast forward to 2024. And I have to say, I was out for a meal, so I didn't see most of the competition. I caught a bit towards the end as I waited in vain for the Aurora Borealis. And the thing that struck me was just that clearly the Eurovision was never just about music. It was done, it's essentially a political project, closely linked, although not part of directly the European Union. It's a European Broadcasting Union, so sort of, you know, tangentially linked. And anyway, it was the bits that I saw were, you know, most of it was rubbish. Some of it was plainly satanic. And you had a massive dichotomy happening between there's two votes. I mean, this system is so mad that they have two votes. They've got the judges' votes, and then they've got the general public in each country, their votes. And long story short, it ended up last night with the winner being a non-binary person called Nemo, I think, from Switzerland. I think they won it. And you had Israel, I think, came third. Ireland with the witch, Bambi Thug, they ended up coming in sixth, I think, which was good to see. And that's because there was a substantial pan-European vote for Israel. Not quite enough for it to win, but enough to lift. They got virtually very few votes from the actual juries, but it lifted the Israel song up to number three. And actually, the Israel song, along with the French song, they were actually sort of songs. Most of the rest of the stuff wasn't. I mean, the winning song sounds like an outtake from the Teletubbies, in my opinion. That, that was enough to win the Eurovision Song Contest. My God. I was particularly pleased to see that the Irish satanic entry didn't do well. But here's something I noticed that was sort of quite telling. So there's basically two blocks in the Eurovision Song Contest. There's the, if you like, the historically Western bloc, you know, countries like Portugal, France, Germany, Spain, right? Those kind of countries, UK even. And then the Eastern European bloc, which in latter times has come in. And it was interesting to see that the Eastern European countries weren't giving the Irish Satan entry much votes. But the Western countries were. I mean, the UK gave it 10 out of 12 votes. They loved the witch, Bambi Thug. And that, to me, speaks to the civilizational decline and fall that we see as the Western Roman Empire collapses in upon itself, completely decadent, completely depraved, and the Eastern European one, which is still emerging from all those years under communism, and it seems to have a wee bit more, for the time being anyway, a wee bit more about it. I also thought it was amazing to see people like Irish politician Micheál Martin come out and praise the Irish entry. I mean, Ireland, it has to be said, is probably the most degenerate entry that we've ever seen. Not just because it's a non-binary, they, Satan-worshipping witch, although that's pretty bad. But some of the others, the person who won it was non-binary. And the thing that amuses me is the Irish person who came sixth, Bambi Thug, calls themselves non-binary. And yet this non-binary person has a boyfriend. In other words, it is a she and she's got a boyfriend. The whole thing's an act. It's an absolute act. It's an absolute horrible thing that Eurovision has become. It's become obviously hijacked by the, or maybe not hijacked, but just part of the gay movement, the LGBTQ, especially the plus with the T's and whatnot. And, you can see just how things have changed so much. And I put up a little post today on Sunday, a picture of Dana, who won it for Ireland in 1969, looking very just normal, just a person up on stage singing a nice song. And I compared that to Bambi Thug, who revels in her witchcraft, representing Ireland with her demonic horns and all the stuff on. And you just think, well, whatever happened to Ireland along the way? Anyway, I prefer to remember Eurovision 1974 Waterloo for the good music that it was. And I just look at the modern sort of abomination as precisely what it is as well. I wonder, did you watch it? Did you see any of it? What do you think about it? Do let me know. Speak soon.